Velma Barfoot was a sweet, loving, God-fearing grandmother that was cherished by our community. But unbeknownst to most, her and her husband, Thomas Burke, were at odds again. Velma had recently gotten hysterectomy and became addicted to her painkillers. Thomas began drinking heavily and the two constantly argued. On April 4th, 1969, Thomas was passed out on the couch after another disagreement. Velma had taken the kids and left, but when they returned, the house was burned to the ground, with Thomas's body later found at the scene. This was the first of many people that mysteriously died in the presence of Velma Barfoot. Welcome to History's Biggest Villains. Velma Barfoot was born in Eastover, North Carolina on October 29, 1932. She was the second oldest of nine children, living on a tobacco farm without electricity, running water, or indoor plumbing. There also wasn't an outhouse, so they had to use chamber pots or go in the woods. As a child, Velma witnessed her father abuse her mother, and shortly after was the victim of sexual abuse by her father as well. Velma, who was only 17 at the time, dropped out of school and eloped with her boyfriend, Thomas Burke, in order to escape her abuser. Velma and Thomas had two children together and lived peacefully in parts of North Carolina for more than 15 years. This all changed in 1965, when Thomas was involved in a serious car accident. Thomas began to abuse alcohol and drugs heavily to deal with the severe pain and headaches caused by his accident. During this time, Velma was suffering from medical issues that caused heavy bleeding, as she had a hysterectomy several years back. Velma had now become addicted to the prescription painkillers she received after her operation. Velma and Thomas, both high on pills and alcohol, constantly argued, but it all came to a head on April 4th, 1969. After another long argument, Thomas was passed out on the couch. Velma took the kids into town with her to run some errands, but when they returned, their house was found burned to the ground, with Thomas having died of smoke inhalation. Even with the unfortunate circumstances of her first husband's death, Velma wasn't single for long, as she married Jennings Barfield in 1970. He was a widower and had kids of his own, but their marriage wouldn't even last a year. Velma was still addicted to prescription medications, and this caused great tension in their marriage. After an argument or divorce was mentioned, Jennings suddenly became sick. A few months later, he suffered a heart attack and died. Velma had a short relationship with another man, and it mysteriously ended with another one of Velma's homes up in flames. With nowhere else to go, she moved back in with her parents. In 1974, her father contracted lung cancer and died. But shortly after, her mother became ill as well, as she died also, suffering from intense bouts of diarrhea, vomiting, and nausea. The doctors were unable to diagnose her illness, and an autopsy wasn't performed. After her mother's death, Velma was convicted on 7 counts of writing bad checks and sentenced to 6 months in prison. She was released after 3 months, and in 1976, she took a caretaking job looking after the elderly. Velma began work at the home of Montgomery and Dolly Edwards. On January 29, 1977, Montgomery suddenly became sick and died. Dolly then experienced similar symptoms and died on March 1st. The next year, Barfield took another caretaking job, this time for 76-year-old Record Lee, who had broken her leg. On June 4th, 1977, Lee's husband, John Henry, was suddenly having severe pains in the stomach and chest, along with vomiting and diarrhea. He died soon afterwards in what doctors diagnosed as a severe stomach virus. With all the death around Velma, her family simply thought that she was just an unlucky woman. They thought her new boyfriend, Stuart Taylor, would help her turn her life around. But things would turn deadly very soon. On February 3rd, 1978, Taylor discovered that Velma had been forging checks in his name and the two had gotten into an argument. As they got ready for church, Velma handed Stuart a beer. However, during the service, Stuart started feeling sick. He felt his whole body burn from the inside, so he excused himself to lie in his truck. Velma then took him home, where he spent the night vomiting, begging Velma to take him to the hospital. But the doctors couldn't find anything wrong, putting it down to possibly gastritis. They simply told him to go home and take some medicine and he would feel better in the morning. But Stuart was dead by the morning. Almost every person in Velma Barfield's family came out to support her at Stuart's funeral, as it was unbelievable what had happened to this poor woman. Ever since she lost Thomas Burke, this poor woman had suffered nothing but grief and heartache, they thought. However, one of Velma's sisters called the Lumberton police, hysterically crying as she revealed that Velma had poisoned Taylor and several others. Stuart's autopsy had come back to reveal that rat poison was in the system. The police started looking up every tragic death around Velma, and every time, they found traces of the exact brand of rat poisoning. Velma pretended to know nothing about this until her son Ronnie asked her about it. She couldn't lie to her son and broke down sobbing in front of him. "It was an accident," she said. "I only meant to make him sick." After she got arrested, She confessed to poisoning Montgomery and Dolly Edwards, John Henry Lee, and her mother, Lillian Burke, claiming she killed them in order to cover up the fact that she had stolen money from them to support her drug addiction. She also confessed to poisoning Stuart Taylor as well. Despite her confession to these murders, Velma continued to deny claims that she had also killed Thomas Burke and Jennings Barfield. Jennings' body was later exhumed and found to have traces of rat poison. Thomas's death, she insisted, was really a freak accident. The police were unable to prove anything about Burke, but they had reason to doubt Velma. Barfield was convicted on the first-degree murder of Stuart Taylor on December 1978. The trial jury found aggravating circumstances and recommended that she be sentenced to death. During the trial, her defense team unsuccessfully argued insanity in vain attempts trying to convince the jury of a mental illness. To everyone's surprise, Velma appeared indifferent and cold-hearted when taking the stand. She even gave the district attorney a standing ovation after he delivered his closing arguments. She was the first woman to be executed since the death penalty had been reinstated. Because of this, it became a media frenzy. While on death row, Barfield became a born-again Christian and began to minister to fellow inmates and guards. She also began writing letters to Governor Jim Hunt, arguing that her born-again Christian faith should be considered as a mitigating factor for commuting her sentence to life in prison. She garnered a great deal of support from many Christians across the United States, including evangelists Billy and Ruth Graham. However, Governor Hunt denied her request for clemency. Velma Barfield's execution came on November 2, 1984. She spoke to Billy Graham one last time, hoping that his influence would help save her life. But Billy just told her, "Velma, in a way I envy you, because you're going to go to heaven before I do." A crowd had formed outside. 300 of them were begging for her life at the prison walls, holding candles and singing gospel hymns. But across from them, there were 80 more demonstrators who wanted to see her dead, chanting, "Die, bitch, die." She ate one final meal, which was nothing more than a bag of cheese doodles and a Coca-Cola. Then she followed the guards into the execution chamber. She was 52 years old and was the first woman in the U.S. to be executed by lethal injection. She didn't care about anything. She did what she did. She poisoned these people. She's denying what she did, even though the evidence suggested the opposite. She's like, "Oh, I didn't kill him. I didn't kill this guy. But we just dug up his body and it shows that he is rat poison, along with the other four or five people that you just admitted that you killed." Like, come on here, let's not sit here and lie. It's not often that women are serial killers. A lot of this stuff gets media attention, but it's just, and it's like the usual cycle where they magically find Jesus after they've been convicted to go to die. So it's like, "Oh, let me find God. Let me try to repent for what I did." Like, but you killed all these innocent people, including your own mother, including your mother, all of your husbands, like people that you were supposed to be taking care of, like that was your job to take care of, and you're killing these people. Like, come on, man, that's crazy. But I'm actually going to end this video with a video of her interview on death row. So definitely we can watch this. And thank you so much for all your support. Leave a like if you enjoyed this, subscribe if you're new to the channel. But I'm out. Peace.
Velma Barfield was convicted and sentenced to die in 1978 for the poisoning death of her boyfriend. She also admitted poisoning three other people, including her mother. Barfield had been awaiting her sentence in the Women's Correctional Facility in Raleigh. But last week, for security reasons, say corrections officials, she was moved to Raleigh's Central Prison, where she is the only woman prisoner. She now waits in virtual isolation in a cell just across from the execution chamber, a constant reminder, she says, of her likely fate.
It's total, isolation from everybody that I had been with for almost 6 years. The first week I was here was the worst week that I have spent.
Barfield says drugs led her to prison. She became addicted to tranquilizers, she says, during a rocky period in her life.
The last 10 years was just like that, years of a drug nightmare. Days of not knowing where you are or what you've done.
Her attorney would not allow her to say whether she knew what she was doing when she committed her crimes. But once confined in prison, Barfield says, she found God. It's her relationship with God, she says, that has enabled her to survive her confinement.
Living in prison every day is a struggle, even at its best. And I know that without him and his strength that has sustained me, I couldn't have made it even thus far.
Now, drug-free, a repentant Barfield says she regrets the pain she has caused others.
I'm sorry for the hurt that I've caused so many people. Today, if it were possible, I wish that I could take every bit of hurt on myself.